could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up.
You can't handle the truth!
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
We're on a mission from God.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
Good day to you, internet listeners. Thank you for being here. You're with the Entertainment Center, brought to you by PopCultureNetwork.com, your number one source on the web for everything you like. You want the latest news and reviews of toys, video games, movies, comic books, anything you're interested with, stop by PopCultureNetwork.com and check it out. They've got all that info for you. Right now, you're with the Entertainment Center, our podcast focusing on movies and television. This is our 2011 Entertainment Center Oscar Spectacular. We're here to talk about the Academy Awards and pretty much nothing else. I'm not going to throw out my usual snippets of comic book movie news and all these things we like to talk about. We're going to save that for next week's show. Today we're just going to talk about the Academy Awards coming up next weekend, broadcast on ABC. We're going to go over some of the things that were nominated, what kind of movies we liked around here. Mostly my opinion, since I'm your host, of course, but trust me, I'm right about everything. We're going to just talk about what's going on around the award show, really. So let's just go ahead and get started. First, I want to spend some time talking about just the nominees, go over at least the big five categories and talk about who's nominated for some of the bigger awards, the ones people actually care about. We don't really spend a lot of time on foreign language movies that nobody in the audience has seen, or animated shorts that no one in the audience even has the option of seeing. We're just going to talk about stuff that we might actually care about. So let's go ahead and look at the nominees this year. First coming up, Best Picture. Obviously last year they expanded the field to 10 entries instead of the usual 5. I believe it's in a bid to try to garner some more interest and get the ratings up for the awards broadcast. Problem being is that people don't skip out on the awards because there's not enough movies nominated. People skip out on the Academy Awards because they've never heard of or seen half of the movies nominated. This year it's a little bit better than some years. There's some fan favorites out there and some stuff that actually has, Inception obviously was one of the highest grossing films of the year, and it's one of those everyman movies, you know. It's a big summer popcorn action flick, and everybody from all walks really enjoyed it, or at least got out to see it, so they might have an opinion on it, you know. Toy Story 3 was another one. Kids of all ages got out to see that one. There was a lot of interest in that one. True Grit, a lot of people saw. Usually there's a Coen Brothers movie every year that gets nominated, and they're usually have a little bit of an audience to them, so that's not one of the big offenders. But let me just go down the list real quick before I start rambling out of control. Best Picture nominees for the 2011 Oscar broadcast: 127 Hours, Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. All actually fairly decent movies from what I can tell. There's still two of them I haven't seen yet. I will take care of that this weekend leading up to the broadcast, so maybe in next week's show we can go back and talk about those a little bit if there's anything to bring up. The two I have not seen yet are Winter's Bone and The King's Speech. I'm really looking forward to both of them, actually. The King's Speech I've heard nothing but great things about. Winter's Bone, I honestly had never heard of until it got nominated, but I read some synopsis and whatnot. And it looks like it's actually pretty interesting, and some of the reviews I've picked up since then all look pretty strong. Obviously they would, you know, you don't usually see a lot of terribly reviewed movies nominated for Best Picture because the type of people doing the reviews and the type of people making the nominations, if they're not the same people, they usually at least think very similarly. So there's that category. We'll get to some opinions and whatnot about it soon, but I want to just keep going over nominations here at the beginning of the show just to kind of talk more about what we're going to be looking forward to on Sunday and who's going to be around. The next category, just moving down my list here, is best performance by an actor in a leading role. So best actor for 2011. Our five choices are Javier Bardem for Beautiful. It's Biutuifuel if you're looking to look him up for that movie anywhere. Jeff Bridges for True Grit, which I believe John Wayne won for the same role back in the original, or at least was nominated. I'll have to look that up. Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network, Colin Firth for The King's Speech, and James Franco for 127 Hours. As usual, there's a lot of overlap between Best Picture nominees and what gets nominated for acting credentials. You know, if you have the Best Actor of the Year in your movie, there's a very good chance you have a very high caliber movie that you're always also. Not always the case. I mean, even this year, Javier Bardem nominated for Beautiful, which was not nominated for Best Picture, but they did grab onto his performance, which I'm going to have to check out that one now as well and see what it is. But the other four are all pretty standard choices this year. Again, we'll talk about them in more detail upcoming on the show. But for now, another category is Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role. Best Actress for 2011. Your nominees are Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right, Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for The Black Swan, and Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. Again, no real standout there for what just absolutely has to be the winner in this category, but a lot of strong performances in there. Moving on to supporting actors, best performance by an actor in a supporting role for 2011. The odds-on favorite in this one is Christian Bale for The Fighter. I'm sure a lot of you are happy to hear that one. A lot of Christian Bale fans out there. John Hawkes for Winter's Bone. Jeremy Renner for The Town. That's an interesting pick right there. Mark Ruffalo for The Kids Are All Right. And Jeffrey Rush for The King's Speech. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role, Amy Adams in The Fighter. Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech. Melissa Leo for The Fighter. She played Mark Wahlberg's mother. Haley Steinfeld for True Grit, and Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom. Again, two categories here where there's a lot of overlap. All of the best actors were in Best Picture nominated films, except for Jeremy Renner in The Town. All of the best actresses were, or excuse me, supporting actresses were in Best Picture nominated films, except for Jackie Weaver in Animal Kingdom. Just a lot of overlap you see and stuff like that always. Those are some of the bigger categories. I also want to come down to Best Achievement in Directing and then some of the screenplay credits because those are the other big ones. Our nominees for Best Achievement in Directing, Darren Aronofsky for The Black Swan, Ethan and Joel Coen for True Grit, David Fincher for The Social Network, Tom Hooper for The King's Speech, and David O. Russell for The Fighter. Now, obviously, all of these are going to be I shouldn't say obviously. It's very rare to have a Best Directing nomination that isn't also nominated for Best Picture. Usually back when they were only five, those were the five. The five were generally identical coming through there. Now that there's 10, they go ahead and drop five out, and they only offer the Best Directing nominations to five of the 10 Best Picture nominees. But these are the ones they picked this year. Best Writing for a Screenplay Written Directly for the Screen is Another Year by Mike Lee, The Fighter by Scott Silver, Paul Tamasi, Eric Johnson, and Keith Dorrington, Inception by Christopher Nolan, The Kids Are All Right by Lisa Chalalenko and Stuart Bloomberg, and The King's Speech by David Seidler. Now, obviously, a lot of these people we haven't necessarily heard of. The point is the movie. These are for scripts written directly for the screen, not adapted from other works. And the other category here is best writing for a screenplay based on material previously produced or published. So if you've taken a book, a novel, an article from a periodical, anything you've taken your idea from and made it into a movie, these are the best screenplays for those. They are 127 Hours by Danny Boyle and Simon Beaufoy, The Social Network by Aaron Sorkin, Toy Story 3 by Michael Arndt, John Lasseter, Andrew Stanton, and Lee Unkrich. True Grit from Joel and Ethan Coen. And Winter's Bone by Deborah Granick and Anne Rossellini. And then Best Animated Feature of the Year only has three nominees this year. It's How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, and Toy Story 3. And that rounds out a lot of the big categories. There's some special effects and stuff like that down there that are interesting, especially to a lot of our listeners. But we don't necessarily know the people behind these things and stuff like that. And then there's a lot of categories that I still don't understand why they put such fervor around. Not to belittle the people in their work. A lot of these are, you know, important things. But they have categories, as I was saying, for things like Best Foreign Film. There's not a lot of audience out there for stuff like that. I mean, you're giving an award show to a mass American audience who doesn't really watch foreign pictures and doesn't really have a reason to want to know what the best one of the year might be. Not, again, saying that they shouldn't have the award, but the Academy gets so wrapped up in trying to boost their ratings and garner more interest, and they give us 10 nominees for Best Picture, trying to hope that it'll catch more people who have seen more movies. What they should be doing is streamlining their award show and taking a few of the lesser cared about by the general mass audiences awards, like Foreign Picture or Foreign Documentary or Animated Shorts, things that the audience doesn't even have a chance to see. You know, I'm a movie guy, and I would have no idea where to go to find where I could see the nominees for Best Animated Short Film. You know, it simply doesn't matter to me because I don't have a venue for viewing it. So why do I want to spend 5 minutes of my award show broadcast paying attention to who's winning an award that I have no means of ever, you know, finding out for myself what my opinion might be? So I'm not going to go ahead and spend a lot of time when we got a limited time on the show here. We're actually running close to the end of our first segment, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through a bunch of categories that we really don't have any means to see. But of the big, big ones, those are the nominees. So I'm going to go ahead and cut to some commercials here, let you know about some other shows coming up on PopCultureNetwork.com. And when we return, I'll go over some just opinions on the broadcast in general, like I have been doing, and what I think of some of these movies and actors that are nominated for some of these awards. So if you care about my opinion, and you should, because you're here listening to my show, go ahead and stick around. We'll be right back, and we'll talk some more Oscar news. So we'll see you in a second, folks.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
What it is, friends. Sween Holic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
And we're back, folks, once again here with the Entertainment Center, brought to you as always by our friends at PopCultureNetwork.com. Make sure you check out the rest of the site, as I'm sure you probably already have. Keep a look around. Anything you guys want to know about, man, these guys have it. They got movies, they got toys, they got video games. If you want stuff they don't have, they'll get it for you. Just ask. You know, you want to know some stuff about sports, politics, anything really. PopCultureNetwork.com is the number one place on the internet. I think that's an actual fact too. I'll have to double check our numbers for this week, but I'm pretty sure we are number one on the internet, so let's just go with that. We'll assume. Anyways, getting back to our talk about the Academy Awards for 2011, went ahead and went over the list of nominees for some of the bigger categories. I want to give a little bit of background real quick here. I have not seen every movie nominated for every category. I doubt anyone has. In fact, I know for a fact the people doing the voting haven't, but that's a gripe for another time. I have been partaking in AMC's Best Picture Showcase. I don't know where you guys live out there, but if you have an AMC theater in your vicinity, check them out, give them a call, find them on the web. Look around. They have a really neat program they run every year with the 10 Best Picture nominees that they've been doing the last couple of years. They bring them all back to theaters for one day only. You have to buy day passes or program passes for 2 days. Basically, what they do is they take the 2 Saturdays before the awards broadcast, and they split up 5 Best Picture nominees per Saturday. Going into the week of the show right here, I have already gone this past Saturday to check out the first 5, which were in order of broadcast at that day. It was Toy Story 3, followed by 127 Hours, followed by The Kids Are All Right, followed by True Grit and The Fighter, which was a really nice 1-2 punch to end the night on, and there was no pun intended there, but now that I caught it, I'm glad I threw it in. 1-2 punch, The Fighter. Anyways, I'm not here to be funny. And then next week, the other 5 movies will play. I don't know the order right off the top of my head, but it's a really neat deal. It's $35 a day for either day, or you can spend $60 and go see both. I know some markets actually do a 24-hour marathon. I think it's only $50. That one's not anywhere near me, though, so I'm just splitting it up over the 2 days. But they give you some concession money along with the price of your ticket, so you can buy some popcorn and enjoy the day. It's just a really neat program. They had trivia questions they came in and asked us. They gave away prizes between films. It's really neat. I would recommend it to anybody out there. And, man, I sound like I work for AMC. Anyways, go check it out if it's near. It's really cool. But to get back, so for the Best Picture nominees, there's 10 movies out there. I have yet to see 2 of them. Starting the weekend, there was 4 I hadn't seen. I picked up 2 last Saturday. I'll pick up 2 next Saturday. The 2 I still have not seen are The King's Speech and Winter's Bone. The King's Speech is hurting me a little bit here because it's picked up a lot of buzz and it's a front runner for a couple of awards in a lot of people's minds, so I feel like I'm kind of left in the dark on that one. But I am going to catch it before the award show for sure. But my apologies for not having done so before this broadcast here. Of the rest of the movies, I've seen 8. I really like at least 6 of them, probably. It's actually, I mean, there's no standout absolute, you know, best picture of the decades this year by any means. So on that level, it's a little bit weaker than some of the years past. But as far as a year within itself, it's a pretty strong category. None of these movies are that bad. Some of them, I mean, like, you know, The Kids Are All Right. True Grit, even, I'd say. These are things I wouldn't put anywhere near a Best Picture of the Year category. But they were good, enjoyable movies. I mean, I really like True Grit, but I really like a lot of movies that don't make them Best Picture of the Year by any means, you know. The Social Network's in there. I don't understand the hype around that one. That's one of the movies. Another one got a lot of hype is Black Swan. Darren Aronofsky always seems to get a lot of hype. I don't dig his style that much. And no matter what, I definitely wouldn't put this movie anywhere near Best Picture, even if I did like it more than I did, which I was not a huge fan. There's nothing about the movie that stands out as that special. The psychological stuff that Natalie Portman goes through is definitely it was really good for her. She did a great job. I have no problems with her being nominated for Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, and I'm probably pulling for her to win that one. I really liked Natalie Portman in this movie. The movie itself just didn't stand out to me as anything particularly special. It's just, I mean, so many close shots. It's cameras following Natalie Portman down hallways and, you know, trying to get inside her mind. But not really, I don't know. I mean, again, maybe it's just me, but I didn't get any vibes from that movie that made it anything more special than that. One of them that really surprised me was 127 Hours. I'm a big James Franco fan. He's just a weird, entertaining little guy. And I've been on that bandwagon since even before the Freaks and Geeks days. I really like him. But I didn't expect this movie to be anything that was terribly mind-blowing. I was hoping for a good performance out of him for the recognition he's getting, and I got that. And the movie itself, too. And, you know, the problem is, too, I kept forgetting until I actually watched it that it was a Danny Boyle movie. And Danny Boyle just has a style to him. I think 127 Hours is the same vibe as a Black Swan. I mean, it's a very visceral, inside the head of the main character type movie. I just think Danny Boyle pulls it off so much better than Aronofsky could have. I think you really, you know, for a one-man show, pretty much the entire movie is just Franco, except for the occasional, you know, flashback or imagination, hallucination, whatever, as he's stuck to this rock. If you don't know, the movie is based on a true story about a guy hiking. He was hiking in Utah or somewhere, and he fell into this crevice and got his hand crushed by a rock, and he was stuck there for 5 days. He couldn't get his hand out, and finally he ended up having to I don't want to spoil the end of the movie for you, but again, it's a true story. He ended up taking a dull knife he had with him and sawing his own arm off to try to get to live, basically, you know, before he ran out of food and water and all that. But, yeah, I mean, just a really strong performance from Franco, and a really much more solid movie than I thought. And it really, the way the camera ran with some of the flashes and quick, jerky movements at just the right time, it really took you on a ride with this guy that got you in his head and made you realize kind of what he was going through. And you really, like, I found myself in the moment way more than I did with Black Swan. So I'm actually pretty happy 127 Hours got nominated. I figured it was one of those that just kind of got the right hype at the right time. But I think it really was a special kind of movie. I think my personal pick, I'm pretty sure The Social Network's going to win the Best Picture category. Again, I don't get it. It's a good movie. I recognize it as a good movie. It's just there's nothing in there to really identify with. I mean, they try to hype that as a movie that's defined our generation, but I don't really know how our generation has been defined by rich kids fighting rich kids, you know, over money. Again, I think Jesse Eisenberg put in a really strong performance. I don't know if it's Best Actor of the Year caliber, but I just kind of like to see something stand out special for categories like that, and nothing against the kid. I think he did a great job. I don't know if the role was big enough for that kind of, you know, recognition. But he's got it. That's cool. It's fine. The movie itself, I just don't buy into the hype. I mean, again, I recognize it as a good movie. I walked out of the theaters in October when I saw that movie, before all the hype hit, and I walked out of that, and I looked at my buddy, and I said, that right there is the best movie that I'll never care about. Because there's just no emotional attachment to it. It's supposed to be a true story, but we have no idea how much of it's true. And, you know, you can't identify with any of these kids in here because they're, you know, rich Harvard alumni fighting over billions and billions of dollars, you know. And that's, and again, I have no problems with movies like that being made. I don't need my entertainment to mirror my real life. I don't need to connect with everything for it. But to get the hype it's gotten, I want a little bit more than, you know, stuff I'll never exactly understand. I think my pick for Best Picture this year is The Fighter. Of the eight I've seen, at least, I mean, obviously I love Inception, but I don't put it, you know, I mean, it's really good summer popcorn movie. I really, really enjoy Inception. It's one of my favorites from the year. But I don't put it as anything that I didn't walk out really moved by Inception by any means. You know, The Fighter, though, it's another based on a true story. Has a myriad of just wonderful performances. It's a really neat tale, and there's ups and downs in there that really kind of pull you along for the ride. Characters you can get behind, redemption for ones you don't like. I mean, there's just the movie's all over the place, and it's great the whole way through. Christian Bale is absolutely amazing. As I said earlier, I think he's the front runner for supporting actor, and I'm pulling for him to get that one. I really hope he wins it out. Just a terrific movie all the way around. Seen it a couple times. Can't wait to see it again. So unless Winter's Bone or The King's Speech really sway me this weekend, that's my pick right there. Best performance by an actor in a leading role. I think I'm pulling for Franco now that I've actually seen 127 Hours. Not just because I'm a fan. I think he did a really good job right there. I still haven't seen King's Speech or Beautiful, so I'm a little weak in this category, right there. But of the three I have seen, Jeff Bridges for True Grit, Eisenberg for The Social Network, or Franco for 127 Hours, I'm definitely pulling for Franco on that one. Actress in a leading role, as I said, I'm pulling for Nicole Kidman right there. I just read the wrong name. I'm pulling for Natalie Portman right there. I didn't like The Black Swan, but I did like her in it, and I don't think... You know, I mean, it's for the performance right there. I don't have to love the movie to back the actress right there, and I don't think the movie has to be nominated for Best Picture just because of a really great performance. She was fantastic. The movie itself was lackluster. Supporting roles, Christian Bale for The Fighter all the way. As I said, supporting actress, that's a little harder. I almost want to give it to Haley Steinfeld for True Grit. She played the little girl out looking for vengeance for her father's murder. She got kind of annoying in the movie, but that was a character. I mean, I think she did a fantastic job for it. I really liked Amy Adams in The Fighter, but I don't know if there was anything particularly standout, you know, that made her performance the absolute best of the year. It was very good. I just don't know, you know, I mean, like I said, I don't know if there was enough meat to the role for me to really identify with it as the best out there. Melissa Leo for The Fighter, I can see. I wouldn't mind that one at all. And I haven't seen Helena Bonham Carter or Jackie Weaver in their roles yet. So I think if I had to pick one right now, I would go with Haley Steinfeld. I doubt she gets it because they usually don't like giving it to the younger actors on their first nomination. I'm guessing right now maybe Melissa... Well, it'll probably be Helena Bonham Carter because The King's Speech is getting so much recognition. And I may agree with that by the time I see it. But I think my want right now is Haley Steinfeld. My guess I'm going to say right now is Melissa Leo, but that may change before the awards. Best achievement in directing. A lot of people mad that Christopher Nolan didn't get nominated for Inception here. I agree with that wholeheartedly, even though I don't think Inception was the best picture of the year. I think it took a lot of talent directing-wise. I mean, a lot of these stories are far more, you know, linear. You know, like Ethan and Joel Coen are on there. I like True Grit a lot. I don't know what about directing that movie stood out as so amazing of a feat when you've got a movie like Inception that has, I mean, with, you know, I mean, let's be honest, with True Grit, you get out there with Jeff Bridges and a camera in the Old West and the movie will practically shoot itself. Not saying that it didn't take a lot of talent to make it as good as it did, but I don't know what special and out of the realm you had to do for that. You take a movie like Inception, and I'm saying this as a guy, I am not nearly as big of a Christopher Nolan fan as a lot of our listeners probably are. I enjoy a lot of his movies. I won't run around hyping him like a lot of people do, but if you look at this year and what it took to make Inception, between special effects, makeup, story design, carrying an audience through that movie and still allowing them to understand it. Because it's a confusing movie if you sit down and look at it, but it still hit wide stream audiences and people were still able to follow it and love it. That takes a lot of skill right there. So the fact that he's not even in the category is, it's a pretty big blow and I don't agree with it. Looking out at what is in there, again, I didn't like Black Swan. I wasn't impressed by Aronofsky. The Fighter's my favorite movie, but it's another one where I don't know what really special you had to do to really get that, you know, get the point of that movie across. Again, I mean, David O. Russell is a very talented director, and he did a really great job to make such a good movie, and I'm going to go ahead and put my vote behind him for how much I like the movie, because I don't think any of these stand out as something that took a lot of, you know, pizzazz to get done. I would say The Black Swan if I liked the movie anymore, because I think Aronofsky was at least going for something special. I just didn't buy into it, but I'll throw my support weekly behind David O. Russell for The Fighter because I don't think the best director of the year actually got nominated. And then the screenplays, I don't really read the screenplays, it's hard to say. This is more like, you know, which movie did you like more almost as far as the two categories go. Because I don't know how close the screenplays that were written actually match up with, you know, the films that we ended up seeing. A lot of times stuff like this gets changed through and throughout, so... I won't even venture guesses for these. We'll just kind of see what happens. I'm actually running a little bit over time here on this segment anyway, so we're going to go ahead and cut back to some commercials, and we will be back with more Oscar talk right after these. Thanks for listening.
Hi, guys. This is Chris Vent here, one half of D-Generation X. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. Operation Retro Shock with Alan Price. Well, I'm always telling Alan Price to... No, never mind. So, one half of Operation Retro Shock... Twice a month, you'll find an episode exclusively on PopCultureNetwork.com. We cover all things retro. We've covered the likes of things such as Thundercats. Heck, we've even interviewed Larry Kenny, who was the voice of Lion-O. The likes of Monday Night Wars. Somebody was involved in that. Oh yeah, Chris Jericho. We've interviewed him as well. And some other things as well, like Back to the Future. We've got Batman. We haven't got Master of the Universe yet, working on it, but some other stuff as well, like Sega specials and Nintendo specials. So why not head over to PopCultureNetwork.com, click on the Operation Metal Shop button, or why not even go to the forums and have your say on what you would like to see discussed. We're always open for ideas, and why not live in the past? It's better than living in the now, isn't it? They always say they don't make them like they used to, apart from this show, of course, and the one you're listening to. Enjoy.
What's up, all? This is Sween Hollick from Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you're listening to a Primo Pop Culture Network podcast.
And we're back with a little bit more show here. Once again, you're with the Entertainment Center. I'm your host, Jonathan Leonard. We are talking about the 2011 Academy Award broadcast coming up this Sunday on ABC. I'm 90% positive it's ABC. I'll find out when I turn my TV on Sunday. We've talked about a lot of the nominations, what I think is going to win, a little bit about what's probably going to win. I think The Social Network's going to walk away with a lot of things. I don't understand why, but that's how Hollywood works sometimes. You know, the way of the voting and everything goes for these awards. It can be frustrating at times, the things that just hit the whim of the people with the power here. Nothing we can do about it. I mean, People's Choice Awards don't really work out that well either. There's no way to really just ensure that the best is going to get recognized for being the best sometimes. There's always going to be upsets, and there's always going to be weird trends. Again, a lot of it's politics. I mean, people take out ads for their performances, for their movies, for all that stuff in variety magazines and all the things that the voters read so that you can be reminded, hey, I was in this movie, maybe we met once at a party, you should probably vote for me, whether you've seen my work or not. A lot of the Academy... I'll do some research sometime and go over how the actual Academy is picked out and how the voting goes. I've got a loose knowledge of it, but I don't want to start spouting out a bunch of things that aren't true if I'm wrong about some stuff. But basically, a lot of screeners are sent out to a lot of these people once you make the Academy. But, I mean, there's no guarantee that they watch the movies they're voting on. Again, with a category of 10, I mean, I'm a movie nerd, and it's all I do with my free time. And I haven't seen two of these yet. We're a week before the broadcast, you know. A lot of these guys are just, I mean, I'm sure they're all movie people, but that doesn't mean that they have to sit around and study. You know, if you've seen three of the best 10 nominations, but all your pompous, pretentious buddies told you The Social Network was just an amazing experience, you know, you're going to mark that down, whether you've watched it or not, and whether you've understood it or not, because you've heard people you trust say it was good, so why would you assume it's not? There's just no way to really... I mean, that's just one of the, it's a pitfall of the world. There's no way to just really quantify what's the best there is out there or why. Or to explain where a lot of this hype comes from. So you just kind of run with it. I know the broadcast itself, I've discussed a little bit. I know there are some problems with it. They keep trying to find hip new hosts and different ways of changing some of the stuff around to really make it more viewer friendly, and I appreciate they're taking that effort. So they're just, you know, they're missing the boat on some of this stuff. I think the James Franco, Anne Hathaway idea is great this year. I can't wait to see what happens with it. Not because I think they're the absolute best choice for hosts ever, but it is something new and interesting, and I'm going to watch either way, so I'm excited about it. But I don't know if I weren't going to watch the Academy Awards, if I would be like, oh, those two people are young, I'll just jump on board too. I mean, if that's really the demographic you're trying to hit. But like I said, you got a broadcast that's supposed to be 3 hours long or so, and it usually goes like 3.5, 3:40 because of overages. They've been doing better about that stuff. But they fill so much of their time with categories that, you know, they're trying to appeal to a mass viewing audience of Americans who don't have a venue to see best foreign film nominations, even if they wanted to, which they don't. But even if I wanted to see best animated short nominees, I don't know where and how to find stuff like this, you know? And I don't care about best foreign language documentary. It's just, there's a lot of talent that goes into it. I'm not saying it shouldn't be recognized. But they do a lot of technical awards the night or the week before the big ceremony. They give a lot of this stuff away. Why don't you go and find out what the viewers actually want to see, and the ones that they have zero interest in, take them off your broadcast. Put them in the week before. Give these people their recognition for jobs well done. But don't wonder why the American public won't sit through stuff that they couldn't care about even if they wanted to, you know? It's really not that hard, but it boils down to just... And there's a lot of pompousness in Hollywood, obviously. And a lot of the Academy Awards are more patting each other on the back than they are anything else. So it's just one of the evils we go through. I still love the broadcast. I still love the hoop and holler around it. And I still love the prestige of the people winning these awards, even when they don't necessarily go to the right one. You know, you have to have that base milestone that you really respect. And then for movies, this is what it is, and that's all there is to it. And I don't see it changing for the negative any sooner than I see it changing for the positive. So we're just kind of stuck where it is, and we'll run with it. But I know, you know, like last year they got Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin to host, which was just such an interesting thought because, again, they're trying to find popular people to associate with a wider audience, and those are two great choices, but everybody's always thinking younger and younger and younger, and we got to invite younger crowds in, and we got to appeal to the 18 to 35 demographic, younger, 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 and so last year they go and pick two of the oldest guys they can find and throw them out there. But those two, I mean, they did a great job, and they do have large audiences, you know, old and young, so it wasn't a bad idea at all. I just thought it was humorous. But this year with James Franco and Anne Hathaway, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to see what they do and if they come up with stuff. You hear nothing but good things about either of them coming from, you know, the Hollywood scene. So hopefully they're as entertaining as people seem to think they are. And it is really interesting also with Franco getting that Best Actor nomination. I have to wonder how much association there was between, you know, him hosting and getting the nomination. I know they're not going to give it him a nod just because he's hosting, but I, you know, the name gets out there because I'm pretty sure they picked the host before the nominations were finalized. I'm relatively positive they did, and there was a lot of hype going around Franco's performance anyway when he was picked, but you wonder, did that push it over the edge? Or is it really just a coincidence? Again, though, I mean, he's my pick for the year. I think he did a fantastic job now that I've seen the movie, so I think he definitely deserves it. But it's just an interesting thing to think about. Another problem I have with the broadcast I'll run through real quick is the Toy Story 3 nomination for Best Picture, which I fully back. That is one of my favorite movies of the year. It's my favorite of the three. It is not one I assumed I would love that much. I mean, I love the Toy Story movies, but you don't go in expecting one to be that just outlandishly good on all levels, you know, when you're walking into a cartoon, even if it is made by Pixar. So I'm definitely backing it being nominated there. My question, though, is I really think if you're going to be nominated for Best Picture, I think it should pull you out of Best Animated Film. I think it's unfair to throw that category, and I think they did it last year with Up also. If you're going to take an animated film out of the realm of animation and put it into the realm of one of the best pictures of the year, then obviously it's going to win Best Animated Film. I don't think you should allow to do both. And that should be the movie's choice more than anything. If it wants to go for Best Animated Film and get the sure win, run with it. If you want to take yourself out of that running and put a real strong contention in for Best Picture of the Year, that should be your choice as far as, you know, the filmmakers go. But I just seems hedged. How to Train Your Dragon possibly end up winning Best Animated Film of the Year when Toy Story 3 is in the contention for Best Picture of the Year? And if it were to happen, wouldn't that just make everyone involved look ridiculous? I mean, obviously, Best Picture of the Year is just a different plane than most cartoons hit. So if you're up running for one, it goes without saying that you're the best of the other, and you shouldn't get your trophy statue and still get a shot at the big one, you know? That's my opinion anyway. I think if you're going to go for one, you should go for the other. Now, having said that, I think Toy Story should be nominated for Best Picture. I think they should have found more. There were plenty of delightful cartoons last year, and I think they could have nominated more for that. And again, why did they cut that down to three, you know? I mean, why not throw in some other of the big animated features last year? I mean, I'm pretty sure they have five nominees for animated shorts that no one's ever seen. Yet the animation market we have in America produces, you know, there's at least a new cartoon movie every 2 weeks. Out of 20-some-odd features that probably came out last year, you could only find three you actually respected. You know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. But pulling it up right now. Best Short Film Animated. There are five nominees for that. Never heard of four of them. One of them is Madagascar, A Journey Diary. I have no idea if that has anything to do with the Madagascar cartoons. I'm guessing no. But again, I mean, how are you going to dig up five best picture or best animated shorts when you can't find more than three best animated feature films that you actually liked? And one of those shouldn't even count in the category. Doesn't make much sense to me. But that little gripe right there takes us to the end of another segment and the end of the show, actually, so we're going to cut it off here. We'll be back next week. I'll try to get you one out early in the weekend before the broadcast again. We'll talk Oscars some more, but maybe I'll throw in some actual news from around the movie world, too. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Again, if you're near an AMC theater, check out next Saturday afternoon. They usually start at 11 a.m. is when ours started. That's Central Standard Time. I assume they start at 11 no matter where they are. They'll run through 5 Best Picture nominees next week. I think the order, though I'm not sure, is... I believe it'll start with Winter's Bone, and then The Black Swan, and then Inception, and then The Social Network, and then The King's Speech. So if you haven't caught up on any of those, or you want to see them again, give your local AMC a call, find out if they're doing it. Or, and other chains might be doing it too, so check out, you know, Regal Cinemas, or Werenberg's, or whatever you're near. Give your movie theater a call, find out if you can go check some of these out. I had a blast doing it last week. I'm really looking forward to Saturday doing it again. And then Sunday is the award show, so tune back in this weekend. We'll talk more Academy Awards, or if you're just tired of my opinion on these matters, come back next the following week, and we'll talk about just movies in general. As always, the Entertainment Center is brought to you by PopCultureNetwork.com. Check out the rest of the site for all of the news and reviews of your favorite things, comic books, TV, movies, video games, and toys, of course. Check out some of our other podcasts on the site, and just support us as much as you can, because that's what keeps us going. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and have a great day.